hustling, clamoring world, sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God speaking to my soul. But in my quiet time alone, when I approach His holy throne, His tender words speak gently to my ear. He still
ears.
Keep your faith and
Somebody will say that in their heart this morning. Lord, be it unto me.
Yes.
Amen. We just want to let the musicians go to their seats. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want to welcome Brother David Black. It's good to see you. Brother Daniels, I don't know if it's his little brother or big brother or whatever. He's been with us before, but I want to welcome him. And also, I wanted to bring up just a little thing there. This next Wednesday is Marion Richards' anniversary, 25 years. So I think that's a blessing. Let's just give the Lord an applause for that. Is there any other way I can embarrass you? They actually got married in my house 25 years ago, but my, how time flies. My wife's shaking her head. I said, he's almost, they're trying to catch up with me and my wife. We're coming up on 30 years in February, so anyway, it does go by quickly. But we thank God for every day that's a blessing. He has truly blessed us very much. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. And we're going to open to St. John chapter 15. I want to open service reading the same scripture that I read Wednesday night when we opened service there. Brother Ben, we got just a little bit of ringing up here. If you can just slightly reduce it. This is Jesus speaking. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 15. Jesus said, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me. Now listen, we think that we choose God. And we do, because we have free moral agent. But what I'm going to talk to you today goes much deeper than just your choice. Because I want to tell you, if someone can convince you to make a choice for Christ, somebody else can come along and convince you to make a choice not for Christ, right? So our experience has to be something greater than just choice. And it starts with our choice, I understand that. But what you're going to see now is that God is behind the scenes and He's working on you long before you ever come to the place where you make the choice. And what takes place in your life is something that's much greater than just a choice. Something God instituted a long time ago. So He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You know what that means, ordination. Ordained you that you should go forth, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Wouldn't you like to be in that position?
Yes.
That whatever you ask, God would give it. Did Jesus just say that you could have that? So we've still yet to come into everything He has for us. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that they hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, is that on there? Okay. Should go all the way to 21, but it's okay. Let me just read it off my notes here. That way we get the rest of it. But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember, and Jesus said in verse 20, remember the word that I said in you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that has sent me. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come into your presence this morning, we desire, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come. Lord, that you would anoint each one of us, that we, Lord, right now, we just know how to surrender to you. Lord, that as this service goes on this morning, that you would have your way and that things would be done according to your purpose and according to your will. Lord, that when we leave this place today, we could all say that it was good to be in the house of God. Lord, we know that you're here because you promised. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be in the midst, Lord. And so we have gathered here in your name. Lord, we're not here in the name of our church. We're not here in the name of Brother Tony. We're here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we desire, God, that you would pour out your spirit upon the words this morning and quicken them to us. Lord, that we might be able to enter into what you have. We pray, God, that you would rebuke any enemy, any spirit, Lord, that would try to hinder this morning, keep us where we could not be attentive to your word. We ask, God, that you would remove those. Allow us, Lord, to sit in heavenly places, Lord, where the angels of God desire to sit. We pray, God, that you would just move upon us this morning, touch every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Our experience, how many knows, we know that death does not change us. It only changes our dwelling place. So the character that we have, we know that the Bible tells us that to this last age, the age that's here just before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to sit on his throne in the millennium, he has promised to that particular church, that particular age, that the overcomers of that age would be able to sit with him on his throne. Right? He said, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. When he left here, he went to the Father's throne. But he's going to come back someday, and he's going to set up a thousand years of peace on this earth. We know it as the millennium. We know it as the reign of the Son of David. And he's going to do that. He's promised you and I, or the overcomers of this last age, that they could sit with him in that throne. That's in rulership. And in order for us to be able to do that, we obviously have to have character fit to rule, right? We believe that. I certainly wouldn't want to take a three-year-old and make him a president. However, sometimes I think maybe it might get better results. But anyway, you would want to take someone who's got character to be able to handle the power that they have, right? So in order for us to be there with him, then we've said this many times before, the character that we need to rule there, we gain now. And character is not just a gift that God gives to you. Character is a victory that you must have. It's a victory of overcoming. So that means there's battles and there's trials that you must go through. And it's through those battles and through those trials that God molds into us the character to be able to handle that supreme authority that he's going to give us someday. Where the scripture said we're going to judge the earth, and the scripture said we're going to judge angels. Now you and I, if an angel appeared in here in this room, and I know it's not talking about the angels of God that's kept their habitation, right? It's talking about the fallen angels, which are now demons. We are going to judge him. Well, if one appeared in here, we'd probably all run to the other side of the room. But the scripture tells us that someday you and I are going to judge those angels, those fallen angels, those spirits. And so we have to come to that character to be able to rule. And so this morning, I want to continue the thought we had Wednesday night, which was true redemption. And I want to continue on with that part two, but I'm just going to give it a subtitle of living from the inside. True redemption. The word redeem means to bring back. Right? To bring back to its original condition. I was reading a quote the other night, and this is what Brother Branham told us. He said, the predestinated, you know, predestination is a word that people don't like. But how many knows that the Bible, it declares that God knows the end from the beginning? The Bible declares that he wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Before he ever created the world, he wrote our names in the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And of course, at the end, we know that that Lamb's Book of Life that was sealed with seven seals becomes opened. And it's open for someone to read so they can see what's on that book. Well, he knows what's on the book. So that obviously means that book at the end is of redemption. All the understanding of the redeemed will be revealed to his church because he already knows it, right? So he's going to open the seals and do that. So God declares the end from the beginning. So he knew who's going to be sitting in this room this morning. Before he ever created the heavens and earth, he knew exactly who'd be here. He knew exactly what burden was on your heart. He knew exactly what you would need. right? And when he walked up Calvary 2,000 years ago, he paid the price for every need that you have this morning. Right? No doubt. No question asked, because he's God. He's infinite. You can't sneak up on him. You can't trick him. You can't surprise him. He didn't wake up someday and go, oh my gosh, look what happened. Satan has turned against me. What? That didn't happen.
No.
God knew what was going on. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, you know, that's we want our experience to come to the place where we can rule. And so in this topic of true redemption, redemption means to bring back. And so, Brother Branham, in this, he says the predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. He said, let me say that again. The predestinated is the only one that's considered a redemption. People might make like and think like they are, but real redemption is to those who are predestinated, because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right?
Yeah.
To redeem something is to bring it back to its original place. So it's only the predestinated that's brought back, because the others didn't come from theirs. And so he goes on to say, and I didn't read this the other night, but he said, being eternal with him at the beginning, the eternal life that you had, his thought of what you was, and he wanted me, he's using an example, he said, he wanted me to stand in this pulpit, and he wanted you to say, sit in the seat tonight, and he said, and then we are serving his eternal purpose. And the one that left home only come to the earth to serve his purpose. And he says, then after it's finished, it's brought back in a glorified state. It's matured and brought back again. Everybody understand that? So God had in his thoughts, in his mind, he knew what we'd be. He had that. He sent us here. And the only reason why we're here is to fulfill his eternal purpose for us. And after we're here, and after we go through the things that happen here, and after we gain the character that he wants us to gain here, we are matured while we're here. And then as we go back, after that's over, we go back and we occupy that position that we had with him before the world was, right?
Yeah.
So when he told Job, he said, where were you, Job, before the foundation of the world, before all this? Where were you when the morning stars sing and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Not just some of them, but all the sons of God shouted for joy. So it certainly brings into view the fact that God, knowing the end from the beginning, then he's talking about the position we held in his mind before the world was, and it's talking about us coming here to fulfill his purpose. So the word redeem only applies, it's redemption only applies to those that can be brought back, right? You had to hold a position with God before the world was. And so you didn't know it. I think I used the example of Brother Elijah I think it was him, but he used to be in his father. He don't remember it. Now he can look and say, well, okay, I believe that's where I come from. I believe he's my dad. But the truth is that a generation ago, he was in his father. But his mind has been blocked from knowing that, right? So every species there is on the earth, a dog comes from a dog, a cat comes from a cat, cow comes from a cow, horse comes from a horse, a human comes from a human, and a son of God comes from
God.
The world don't teach it that way, but the Bible does. We read the scriptures the other night that Paul was teaching. He said, and because you are sons, because you're sons, God sends forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. He sends forth a Spirit into you, causes you to realize you're a son of God. Now your spirit is a different spirit, and you begin to cry back to him, calling him Father. Because the Spirit has come upon you to reveal to you that, you know what, though I can't remember it, I don't understand it, but I realize I come from my Father. And so that's the concept we're talking about here. So to redeem means that the only thing that can be redeemed is something that come from there in the first place. And so I had an actual coupon the other night, and I didn't bring one with me today, And I used a Hobby Lobby coupon for the sisters, but this morning I'm going to talk about a coupon from Harbor Freight for the brothers. Okay? Harbor Freight's a place where you can go buy all kinds of tools. But now, if I had a Harbor Freight coupon, sometimes they'll give you 20% off of any item in the store. Right? How many of you have seen those? And that coupon, a piece of paper, is really worthless. Right? It's really worthless. And you can't take that coupon and go to Walmart and get them to give you 20% off of anything in the store. Why can't you take that Harbor Freight coupon to Walmart? Because Walmart didn't issue it.
Right?
Walmart did not issue it. So you can't take it back to Walmart. But you can take it to Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
Right? And so that piece of paper that's worthless, basically, it's not even worth the paper that's written on, right? It's worthless, but you take it in there and get involved in the redemption process, and now it becomes valuable.
Yeah.
You can find something in that store that's $1,000, and that piece of paper is worth $200 because it's 20% off.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So those coupons have a redeemable value, but they're only good. They can only be taken to Harbor Freight because they come from Harbor Freight.
Right?
So the plan of redemption applies to the sons and daughters of God. Only them. Only those that he knew in his mind. Only those that he put their names on the Lamb's Book of Life. It only applies to them, and everybody else might make like it, act like it, pretend like it. But it only applies to those he already foreknew. I give him that position to know the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't think that's robbery. Because God is God, and he does know, and he does declare. And if I want to step back and say, well, he didn't know, then we're trying to say that the devil can get one over on him.
Yeah.
But my God's greater than that.
Amen. Right.
And so it's only for those that can be brought back. Only those that come from there can go back to there. I don't have it for her to pull up, but I quoted, I might have read it the other night, but Jesus said, the only one that ascends up to heaven is the one that come from heaven. Jesus said it. The only one that can go back there is the one that come from there.
Yeah.
And that's not just talking about him. That's talking about all his children.
Right.
So the only one that can is those who are redeemed. The word redeemed means to bring back. And so we're not of this world. We read the scripture there just a little while ago where he said, you're not of this world, the world of, you know. So we're going to read another one. It's John chapter 17, verse 14. Sister, don't worry, I'll read it right here. If you get so caught up, that's fine. I want you to get caught up in the service. Amen. St. John chapter 17, verse 14. Jesus said, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them. There it is again, right? The world hates them because they're not of the world. Well, if we're not of the world, then what are we? Right? You're seeing here that God has people who believe him and they're not of this world, but then there's a lot of people who are of this world that he speaks of there. So he says, I have given thy word, and the world hateth them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should takest them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. Amen? So Jesus is saying it the same thing. He said, and you know, we don't have a problem accepting that, where he said, I come from my Father, right? And I'll go back to my Father, right? I come from heaven, I go back to heaven. But we have a problem when we want to apply that to us. But we're showing you here that the scriptures is telling us exactly the same thing. That we came from God, and we go back to God, and while we're here, we may not realize it, but at some point, through a new birth experience, we have a revelation strike our heart, and we realize we know where we come from.
Yeah.
And so, when we know where we come from, then we know where we're going, right? Because God can lose none of his.
That's right.
God is not senile. He doesn't forget. And so if he ever thought about you and spoke to you, then his words go, and the scripture said they won't return void. They will accomplish, see? So if you were in the mind of God and he ever spoke about you, you will come to that. There's no way you can miss it because he spoke it. And his word, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. So what he's spoken concerning you, you will come to that no matter what. There's nothing Satan can do to stop it. And so here we see it again. Jesus is speaking there and showing that we are not of this world, and the world hates us because we're not. See? The scripture says, all, and I'm quoting this verbatim, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, what, Brother Daniel? Suffer persecution. All, A-double-L. So, if you want to marry up to Jesus Christ, get ready for the world to not like you anymore. Because you belong to a different kingdom. When you join up with Christ, you are not of this world. You're not interested in supporting this world and developing this world and having some great kingdom here. You are about the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And the world don't like that. And that's just the way it is. And so we know that's how it is. So, when we talk about being redeemed, we're not talking about our flesh being redeemed. And we're not even talking about our spiritual man, our spirit being redeemed. We're not even talking about that. What we're talking about is we're talking about our soul being redeemed. And the soul is actually the gene of God. Now, I mentioned a while ago, you know, horse comes from a horse. Well, you take an offspring horse and he's got genetics in him that proves who his parents is.
Yeah.
Right? No, you can argue all you want, but the gene that's in that horse will prove where he come from.
Right, right.
And on and on and on and on. That's what we, you know, the pedigree of animals. It's the way what they do. And so, it's that way in all nature. You could walk in this door, come in and go right back out, and forensic could come in here and find evidence that you were here because, you know, a hair may fall off your head or whatever. There's DNA in all those things, you know, and so that's the way they solve a lot of crimes and tell where somebody's been because the genetic can prove who you are.
Yeah.
And it proves what who your parents were. But it's that way in God. That when we come here, even though we didn't know it, we had something in us that was a gene of God. And so when you come to a person and you look at them and they're a Christian, you can somehow, I don't know that we can do this, but in the economy of God, you can drill down into that person somehow and you will find something in their makeup that's a gene of God. And that's what makes them a Christian. That's what makes them say yes to the word when they hear it, the word of God. There's something out in there that is actually a part of their Father, their Heavenly Father, and it was in them when they came here, and then they come to realization who they are. You know, a lot of people today, they want to find out who they are, and they go search their family tree. And they go, and a lot of people find out where they come from and what their ancestry was, but that doesn't tell you where you're going. But when it comes to the economy of God, if you can search and find who you come from, it'll tell you where you're going because he loses none of his.
That's right. Amen.
Right? See? He loses none of those that come from him. So once you find where you belong and that you belong to him, then you have confidence of where you're going because you're his child.
Amen.
That's what a true revelation of redemption does for a person. That when that spirit comes into him, what did it say? And because you are sons, he has sent for the spirit of his son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And those same scriptures go ahead and tell you that it's the spirit of adoption.
Yeah.
And it's not adoption like we think of. Adoption like we think of is where there's someone who's not part of the family, and you go out and you legally bring them in and make them part of your family. That's our adoption here in the United States, and that's the way adoption is. But biblical adoption, the way it was done in Israel, the custom was given to them by God, the word adoption to them does not mean you go find someone that's not part of the family and you make them part of the family. But in their economy, adoption means you have a son who is your son.
Yeah.
He's from your loins. But he's not ready for a rulership yet. He's not ready to take the Father's business and be able to handle the power. Remember what I said a while ago? We got to come to character.
Right.
He's not ready for it, but he's a son.
Yeah.
So adoption is where the father puts tutors and teachers over that son and until character is molded into him to where he can handle the father's business. And then once he reaches that point, the tutors and all those that the father hires to teach him, the tutors will come to the father and say, he's ready. He's ready. And so the father would have a ceremony and he'd take that son and he would set him up on a high place in the city among all the business and tradesmen of the city. He'd set him up there and the father would declare to all the people, this is my son. He is now equal with me. Hear ye him. His name is good on the check as mine. If he comes into your business to buy something, you accept whatever he is because he's just as equal with me, just as though I was there.
Amen.
And we know that's what happened when Jesus went to Mount Transfiguration. And in this, the Father, when he'd put him up there like that, he would array them with a white garment, a robe.
Yep.
So Jesus was taken up Mount Transfiguration and his raiment appeared white. And the voice spoke, said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him.
Yeah.
What was it? God was showing that this same Jesus Christ is equal, is the same as the Father.
Right?
Right? Right. He can sign the checks, he can speak it, he can say it, he can do it. He's equal with the Father. Mm-hmm. That's what that was all about. And so, this spirit that we receive into us, crying, Abba, Father, is the spirit of adoption. What is it saying? It's not saying, I'm taking you who was not my son and I'm making you a son, but I'm taking you that has always been my son and now I'm giving you my authority equal with me.
Amen.
Right? That's the Bible. That's Bible adoption.
Right.
And so the scripture says, and because you are, he sends that to you. It did not say you become that when he sends it to you.
No.
Right? It's in Galatians, I think it's chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, if you want to pull that up, sister, Galatians chapter 4, I think it's verse 6, but right in there, if you can find it and put it up here, because I want everybody to see it. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. So you see, this thing that comes upon us in a new birth isn't just a decision that we make. It might start there with a decision, but the thing that comes upon us is much greater than that. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What? What? Now you know He's your Father.
Right.
You know you come from Him. And therefore you know you've got eternal life. You have joy for your future because you know He's your Father. And He won't lose none of His.
Amen.
And furthermore, you know that you can pray. And whatever the Father, whatever you ask Him the Father, He's going to give it to you, right?
Right.
We just read that a while ago. The whatever you ask in the Father's name, He'll give it to you, right? Or whatever you, in other places, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, He'll give it to you. Why? Because He's all one self. The revelation declares He's all in the one same, right? And so that's what we're talking about. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I told Brother Daniel before service that I really would like next week, I keep hearing this. In the Spirit, I keep hearing the Lord say this in the Spirit, nudging me, that we for us all to come next week and let's pray for the sick. Let's pray for it. I want you to take all the needs that you have over the week. I want you to gather them all together, spiritually speaking, in your bosom. And I want us to come next Sunday, and I want us to pray and expect God to take those things, whatever those are. And so, why? Because God has given us the Spirit of adoption. He's given us a spirit that says that we can have these things. And so, we're not talking about your flesh being redeemed. We're talking about your soul because your soul comes from God and it returns to God. And if it's the Word of God. And actually, when God created heaven and earth, when he sent forth His Word, I believe that somewhere in there, you just have to kind of wrap your head around it, but I use Brother Daniel as an example, since he's a fellow minister here. But when God spoke, somewhere in that Logos word, somewhere in there was Brother Daniel. Somewhere it was in there was you and me. And when God spoke him, somehow in that thought, and the thought that became word, right? Because you have to think it before you speak it, became word and was spoken. And once it's spoken, it cannot fail because it's God's word. That somewhere in there, it was declared, Brother Daniel is my son. And you're my sons and daughters. Well, if that ever come out of the mouth of God, then that's where you're headed. See? Because that's the real you. And so, that's the thing that comes and lodges in you when you were born. That's the thing that's laying down inside you that causes you to come to a new birth. It's something in there that causes you to believe because it's part of God. And so, we're not talking about the flesh being redeemed. We're not talking about our spirit being redeemed. We're talking about a gene down inside us that come from God, and God is going to take it back to him because he's not going to lose any of his own. So we believe that. And so it goes beyond what your flesh wants, and it goes beyond what your spiritual man can even think about, right? It goes beyond that. We know that there's a sermon that we're familiar with called Three Kinds of Believers. And I had been listening to Brother Harold Beckett. I've got some of his sermons from many years ago, and I had been listening to those recently, and I remember him saying this, and it's true, that in every service, you know, in every service, you got three kinds of believers that gather together. You've got the true believer, and you've got the unbeliever, and you've got the make believer. And I always thought, boy, that's pretty rough, because Jesus said, if you gather two or three gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst. So if you got two people gathered in his name, and then he comes along, he's there. So, okay, now, who's the believer? Who's the make believer, and who's the unbeliever? But I believe there's a better way for us to apply this. And this is what I heard Harold Beckett say years ago, and I just recently heard it again. And it's true. That as we come to church, and we know we are body, we are spirit, and we are soul. We're made up of three, just like God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's three attributes of the same God. We are body, spirit, and soul. So even though we're one being, we have three different aspects to our one being. They're not different people, but they all come together and they all make up this expression of who we are. And so we know that our flesh was not born again when we gave our heart to the Lord. This flesh still has the desires of the things of the world, just because it don't. That's just the way it is. It's born in sin, shaping iniquity. We come in the world speaking lies. And it's not, the scripture said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So God's not really trying to redeem this so much. Even though this can receive the blessings of healing and that sort of thing, this is not what he's redeeming. Okay? So I think we can all agree with that it's not our flesh that we're talking about being redeemed, but one might think that it is our spiritual being. And now, in our flesh, we have five senses, right? Touch, taste, see, smell, and hear, and that's the way we interact with this world out here. But in our spiritual man, we have five spiritual senses also. And so even without your flesh moving, you in the spirit, you can be very much alive and well and very much active in the spirit, and you can be receiving and being influenced in spiritual matters, and your flesh never move one bit. Okay? Because your spiritual man is made up of imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affections. So you could be laying there in the bed, totally motionless, except maybe breathing, maybe not even have your eyes open, but you can be soaring in your imagination.
That's right.
Right? Your conscience. You can be remembering. Right? There can be affections moving through you. You might have passionate desire and not even be visible, see it, but it's moving inside you. Everybody understand? Right. So there's a difference. That's not flesh. But down in there somewhere, there's a spirit moving, right? And so in that, Satan can anoint you, or God can anoint you.
Yeah.
So Satan can anoint your memory of all the bad things you used to do and try to use that to make you feel like a failure because you used to be a sinner. But God can come along and anoint your memory and make you forget about all that and rejoice because you're a Christian.
Yeah.
You understand what? So your imagination or your conscience, the scripture shows that a person's conscience can be seared with a hot iron. So you see, what I'm showing you there is that in your spirit, man, you can be influenced from God or from either side. Now, If you look at the word spirit in the Bible, it kind of refers to the wind. Remember the scripture said that the wind comes and it blows and you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it goes, right? And he said even everyone that's led of the Spirit is kind of like that. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know where they're going because something has moved across them and it's caused them to act a certain way. You don't know where it came from and you don't know where it went. All you've seen was the manifestation of the fact of when it blew across them. Right? Blew, something moved. And so it's like trees. In the Bible, trees represents man. The wind will blow and you'll see the tree blow this way. And after a while, you see it blow again, and now it blows this way, right? And that's the way it works, see, because it's spirit. And so your spiritual man might blow this way and praise God because it feels the move of the Spirit in church service, but then that same spirit, that same imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection, you go out and 4 or 5 hours from now, you hear a rock song or some song you used to dance to or whatever, and if you give into that, next thing you know, now your tree is wiggling this way.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you something. Can God build His kingdom upon our flesh? Can God build His kingdom upon something that blows this way for a while and then blows this way another 5 minutes later?
No.
So God can't build upon even your spiritual man. Right? And so that's why I said redeemed is not applied to flesh and not even the spiritual man. But it's talking about your soul. Now, the reason why I'm talking about all this is because I think the believer needs to come to the place where they understand what's going on, understand the nature of their battle, and understand what's going on. And I know we are ordained of God to come to the place where the devil can no longer whip us down and beat us down and tell us you're this or you're that. We come to the place where we are an invincible army, right?
Amen.
We come to the place where what Satan tries no longer works anymore.
Amen.
So that if he can make us feel like failures because of the failures in our flesh, as long as we let that he's got us believing that we're failures because of our flesh, he's got us. So we got to come to a place where we realize, you know what? This that I see and hear every day that fights me all the time, I ain't got nothing to do with it. God's not even looking at it. And also, we have to come to the place where we realize that just because somebody gets caught up in the Spirit and maybe even prophesy something that's right because they're caught up in the Spirit of God, that don't make them right because we've seen them.
That's right.
2 days later, now they're caught up in another spirit doing something evil.
Yeah.
And then back to church the next week, blowing this way and in the presence of God and actually operate spiritual gifts.
Right.
This is why false anointed ones at the end time had to come. That's why that message had to come. To show us that it doesn't matter because you were anointed the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes and did something right. If you turn around and go the other way, you can't build on that.
Yeah.
And God doesn't either. See? So our flesh is absolutely that he never wants to serve God.
Right.
Never. But you'll find sometimes in your spirit realm, you're ready to praise God and sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
Everybody, can everybody associate with this? Well, God can't build on either one of those.
Right.
So what he has to build on is something that's a whole lot more sturdy than that.
Yeah.
Has to be something that's just as sturdy as the Word of God, that is the Word of God, that's able to sit on a throne someday and be in character and sit on a throne and rule. He can't rule with our fleshly swings and all the desire because it never wants to serve God. It wouldn't. If you were ruling, if you had spoken word, creative power, the first time somebody cut you off in traffic, they would vanish. You'd speak them out of existence. So you don't have the character for that. Do you see what I'm saying? Same way in her spiritual man. First time somebody made us mad, that'd be all she wrote for them. So God can't build on that. He has to build on something a lot deeper, a lot more firmly rooted than that. And so what he builds upon is that gene that's actually in the soul. And that's the real you.
Yeah, right.
Your flesh is not you. And even the spirit man, even our spiritual man, is not who we really are. It's our soul. Now, you take a man, he's got a fleshly body, but without the spirit in him, he's laying there dead, right?
Yeah.
But if you put the breath of life, him, spirit, you put that in him, and he now he's got the imagination, conscience, and all those things working in him, and it's a life that comes in or whatever, and now he's moving and he's working, right? You take that spirit out of him, he no longer animates, right? So the spirit is what animates us. Okay. Now you take a person that's got the spirit of Dillinger. Everybody know who Dillinger was? No? Bonnie and Clyde. Pick somebody in your own mind. Jack the Ripper. You take that spirit and you put it in a person. That person, which way will the tree begin to blow? They'll begin to blow in a direction where they begin to manifest the life of Jack the Ripper or whoever it is. Because why? That spirit is in there animating. Reach in there and take that spirit out. They no longer do those things.
Right.
You take a person who's bound with lust. Reach in there by the power of God. Pull that thing out and they'll lust no more.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? Put that in there, they will. You take a person laying there, and they might even have a desire for God or whatever, and they can't really do it until they're anointed. You put the Holy Ghost in him, and then he will cause them to begin to animate a life of the Holy Ghost, right?
Amen.
So they'll manifest the spirit that which is in them. But as we've just said, in the spirit realm, we might go one way one day, and the next day go a different way. So it's got to be something greater than that, something stronger than that. And so then it goes down into that third realm, which is soul. So our body is an unbeliever, always. Our spirit is a make-believer. Sometimes he believes, sometimes he don't.
Right?
Sometimes we feel like, man, I'm going to conquer the world for Christ. And the next day we can't even hardly get out of bed because we're afraid of what we're going to face. That's all in your spirit realm, saints.
Right, right.
God wants to bring us to a place where we understand that, and when he tries to blow the wind of unbelief across us, that there's something down deeper that we reach in and we grab and we bring it out and we say, it is written.
Amen.
Right. See, we come with something stronger that's always amen. So our flesh is the unbeliever, our spirit is the make-believer, but our soul is the believer. He always believes. Why? Because he's God. He come from God. He's the Son of God, and he'll always be that way. You just didn't know it until you heard the word preached, until you were born again. And now all of a sudden, now you've got something else down inside you that even when your flesh doesn't want to serve God, there's something down in here that does. And even whenever the spirit of the world tries to come upon you and all the different mood swings and everything happens, no matter what happens with all that, when all that quiets down, there's still something down in there that says, amen.
Yep.
Amen to the word. Well, that's the real you.
Yep.
And God don't want you identifying with your fleshly failures, and he doesn't want you to say, praise God, I shouted in church today, I'm a son of God. Oh, yeah? You give it a few days out of the presence of God, and you'll shout at a rock concert.
Yep.
It's not that. We've got to learn that our spirits comes from something much deeper, something that never changes.
Amen.
The scripture said in James that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning, and he's the Father of lights. There's no shadow and there's no variableness or shadow of turning. What's it saying? He is absolutely constant the same. He doesn't move. He's solid, right? It's not really the sun that's moving in relation to the earth. It's the earth that's the one that's spinning. He's constant. See, that's a rip like God. God is constant. We're the one that's always spinning around and we're in the presence of the light, and then all of a sudden we're not in the presence of the light. And then we are in the presence of the light. And when we are, we feel the warm rays, and when we're not, it's cold. You see what I'm saying? That's our spirit, man. It swings around, it comes to church, and it praises God, and then 2-3 days later, it's laughing at something it sees on YouTube that it shouldn't see. Come back to church the next week. Now, see, that's your spirit, man. See, that's how it all swings those ways. But God wants us to come to a realization, you know what? I recognize what these swings are, and that's not who I really am. And I recognize my flesh never wants to serve God, and that's not who I am. But there's something down inside that always says amen, that always wants God, that always loves Him.
Amen.
And that was quickened to me one day, and I see it resident in me. That's who I really am. That's who you really are. And so now you see why I said that. That's what God is taking back, a redemption. And that's why I said learn to live from the inside. Live from the inside of the inside. Not the spiritual man. Not getting caught up in whatever spirit's going on. See? Because you got this tree standing there, and when the winds are blowing that way, that's the way it'll lean.
That's right.
And then when the winds blow the other way, that's the way that it'll lean. Right? And that tree will clap its hands and rejoice in whatever direction it's blowing, whether it's an evil spirit or if it's the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Because it's like water. It's like air. It's the wind. It's just blowing. It's not got substance. Right? But you take a solid rock that you can build on. Right? You can build on a solid rock, and I don't care which way the winds are blowing or what's going on, that rock is right there just solid the same. And that's what God wants us to come to down in our own experience. You think about a car. Think about a computer. That means, I know most, probably everybody's familiar with a computer. A computer's made up of hardware. And that hardware, whether it's a hard drive and it's a monitor, a mouse, keyboard, all that stuff, all that hardware is just sitting there and it does nothing. Until you put some electricity in it. Then when you put the electricity in it, now it's got an animation in there. It's got something going on. But still, yeah, that really doesn't even declare what it is. What is it? It's the actual code, the actual program that's written that actually gets declared. Right? So if you see what I'm saying, that hardware is like your flesh. The electricity going in there would be like the spirit man. It can go either way. It can play any program or whatever. But what matters is what program's actually in there.
Yeah.
So you see, it takes whatever's in the soul, it takes the spirit realm to bring that out. And whatever's in the spirit realm, it takes that to bring out into the flesh. Everybody following?
Yeah.
So it takes all those things. But the real you is, the if I want to wrote a program, if I wrote a program that to my wife that said, honey, I love you. Well, it's not the hardware of the computer that matters. And it's not the electricity that matters. But it's the program inside there that's the message.
Yeah.
Everybody follow me? It's the program inside there. And that program, as Brother Branham says, that would be down in our soul. And as he said, in your soul, it's either faith or it's doubt. If you're from God, it's faith. It believes the Word of God. If it's not from God, it will doubt the Word. See? Because that's the real message from God. And when He sent you here with a soul that is declared through a spirit of imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection, which is declared through a flesh body who lives out what's in the spirit, lives out what's in the soul. Right? Everybody following? So it would be, in that example, it would be the code that I wrote, that would be the thing that would get the message across to her. It wouldn't be, but it would need the electricity to run that code, and it would need the hardware to display it. Everybody following? And so that's the way it is. God uses our spirit, He uses our flesh, but the real you is neither. The real you is the code down inside that gene. And that's God. Can never be anything else but that.
Yeah.
But Satan wants us to spend all of our time being identified with this out here or being identified with our swings and whatever spirit doesn't make a bit of difference.
Right.
What matters is the soul, what's down in the soul. That's what makes the difference. And so, let me just read some more stuff here. You'll know that this is something that actually Brother Brandon did say. He did teach these things. He said, now remember, I'll read this and then we'll be finished up pretty quickly. It works as faith expressed. Now remember, you're in a cycle of three, but you're one person. Like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, cycle of three, but one person, three attributes of the same. God, like fatherhood, sonship, Holy Ghost, your body, spirit, and soul. Now, the outside body has five inlets of contact, your earthly home, see its taste, touch, see, smell, hear. The inside, which is the spirit, has five senses, conscience, and so love, and so forth. But the inside of that is the soul, and it has one thing. It's where he said in other sermons where he said it's either faith or doubt. But he said that's where you live, in your soul. That's where you live. The Spirit can come out here and anoint you to do certain things, and you do it, but that don't mean you're saved. But think of it. Caiaphas is prophesied. Judas cast out devils. See, the Spirit anointed him. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The weeds can rejoice with the wheat. But it's what's in the core. That's where you intellectuals can say, oh, sure, it looks good. I believe that. That still don't do it. No, sir. And the Spirit can actually make witness that it's witness of it. And that isn't it. But if the soul hasn't come from God, it can make impersonations out here, but it can't be real. You can act healing, and you can act like you have, or you can act like you receive it. Christians can act like they're Christians and act and never be so good at it, but that don't mean they're saved. That's exactly right. See, the Spirit can be there, the real, genuine Spirit, the Holy Spirit can anoint you, and that don't mean that you're saved. It's the inside soul that never dies. It's got eternal life. It's always eternal life. See, it comes from God. It goes to God. It's the soul. Now notice, Brother Ram says, but when that inside of the inside breaks in, he's talking about how that in discernment line, a person can stand before him, and even he can be anointed in the spirit realm and still doesn't know who it is. But he said, but in the inside of the inside, that breaks into God, and that's when he's able to know people and tell them who they are and that sort of thing, what he's talking about. He said, that's where the outside can reason. And you take a man and say, well, you know, I'm not supposed to commit adultery. But, you know, then the Spirit comes along and says, I shouldn't commit adultery. So he's talking about, you know, in himself, he says, no, I shouldn't. And even the Spirit can say so. But, you see, way down in there is still that thing there. See, and it kind of governs around, and you better watch it. But when it's directed from the inside, it throws the rest of it together. And that's the guidepost. That's the control tower, the inside of the inside. The soul controls the spirit controls the body. So an outside whitewash don't make any difference. Them religious people back there that Paul called whited walls and so forth, he said they were outward just in every way a believer. And they had prophecies among them and everything else, but the inside of the inside, the soul that disbelieveth, see, that's the reason I say that people can jump up and down and speak in tongues, and people can shout and lay hands on the sick and heal the sick and so forth by faith and all great things there by the Spirit and still be lost. Why? Do you understand that? Because a person, and I've seen it, believe me, this message came in this day to answer our questions, and I've seen it in Pentecost. I've seen prophecies, tongues, and interpretation, gifts of the Spirit of God. And the people live like devils.
Right.
I seen it. I seen people that was ever so sweet in their spirit constantly, but when you ask them about Godhead, that God is one God, as the scripture said, they get mad like a buzzsaw and just about tear your head off. There's something wrong because something in them was contrary to the word, and yet in the spirit, in the environment, they're ever so sweet and ever so lovely. Jesus, you have the Pharisees, Sadducees, ever so sweet, ever so lovely, your kind old priest, all the things he did for you. But who's this Jesus? He's down there driving people out with a whip, driving them out of the temple. Well, he can't be of God. Your kind old priest, he's the one that looks more like the real thing than Jesus. See, that's what happened there. And so, in our day, this message came for us to see. There's a reason why people can do these things and operate spiritual gifts and still be wrong, and we've got to know that.
Right.
So that we're not tricked by it anymore.
Amen.
So that we're not caught up into that and thinking that it's God when it's really not. I stood in this pulpit one night and seen a woman standing right here, stand up and speak in tongues. And she grabbed her Bible and read a scripture. And I don't even remember what it was, but it was Old Testament. and she was wanting to go home and kill her husband that night. We didn't know it at the moment, but later on after service that night, it all come out what was going on later, hours into the middle of the night. And she spoke in tongues and was wanting to go home and kill her husband. Was that a declaration of God? You see what I'm saying? So this message came to enlighten us so that we could realize that everything that declares itself to be righteous is not righteous.
Right.
Everything that declares it to be God, not God. So it can't be built upon fleshly desires and sensations, and it can't even be on the spiritual things as the wind blows one way and then the other, but it has to be something that's back to the Word, back to what the Bible says true redemption is all about.
Yeah.
Back to what the Scripture said, He came to seek and save that which was lost. Well, you know what? You had to be there first before you'd be lost. Right? Prodigal son?
Yeah.
Went out, had to come back. So that's what the Bible tells us.
Sure.
So anyway, and then a modern events made clear by prophecy. Brother Ram said, and I noticed we find that today that there's people that just can't believe it. Even spirit feels. I'm going to give you one that chokes you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean you're going in. No, not at all. That don't have anything to do with your soul. That's the baptism. Here, the inside soul in here, that has to come from God. But then on the outside, you have five senses and five outlets or inlets that you contact your earthly home. The inside, you have the spirit. And in there, you have five outlets, your conscience, love, and so forth, five outlets to the Spirit. Remember, in that Spirit, you can be baptized with the genuine Spirit of God and still be lost. It's the soul that lives that was ordained of God. Didn't Jesus say, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have I not cast out devils and done great mighty works and prophesied in great gifts of God? And He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Many will come in that day. How many knows the Scripture said that? Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees accused Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Right? The Bible say that? Jesus' response to that was that Satan can't cast out Satan because if he cast himself out, his kingdom is divided. What if you go to war and you turn around and shoot yourself? You can't cast out yourself because you'd be destroying your own kingdom if you do. So Satan don't cast out. He can't cast out Satan, right? Satan's not a creator. He's a perverter. Did you realize if Satan can take a hold of something of God that's in its perfect form and pervert that into something bad, Satan cannot take it back to what it was?
Yeah.
Understand that? He's a perverter. He cannot take it back to something righteous. Okay? So Jesus said that. But Jesus said, in that day, many will say to me, haven't I cast out devils? Well, they didn't cast out devils by the devil. So how did He cast them out? By the Spirit of God. But He said, yet I'll say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So now what are we saying here? They had the anointing of the true Spirit of God on their spirit man. They acted out through praying for the sick or whatever and cast devils out, but in their soul, they were not right with God. They didn't come from God. So He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now I know that sounds really, you know, harsh, but that's what Jesus said, see? And so we realize that our Christian experience has got to come down to something that is sturdy. And it has to be from the Word of God and what it says and it says alone. So we want to live day by day from the inside, right? We want to come to a place where we're no longer shifted to and fro and tossed about by every wind of doctrine and all that thing. that when we come to the place, no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, we can stand right there and say, I know who I am.
Amen.
Isn't that what Jesus did?
Yes.
It doesn't mean you won't have battles. It doesn't mean you won't have trials and tribulations and that sort of thing. Even Jesus, in his humanity, he knew exactly who he was, and he knew, but in his humanity, right there at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. The man speaking. Because he was fixing to face a terrible death. If it be possible. There's days we will do that. Lord, if it be possible. But something down inside says, but if it's thy will. Right?
Yep.
If it's possible, Lord, that this not be. But if it is, see, there's something else down that says, I'll go with you all the way. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. See, no matter what the cost, no matter what the price. Now, I know modern Christians don't want to hear that. But if the gospel's lived out right, it's a gospel of sacrifice where people give their lives for others. They
right.
sacrifice for others continually.
Right.
What does a mommy do for her family? Isn't it a continual sacrifice? What if she didn't do it? What would happen to them little ones? You see what I'm saying? She gives tremendously, but that translates into the betterment of those children. Christ gave tremendously so that we would benefit. And that's the way it is. So we all will come to that place day in and day out. We come to many places in our life where we have to pray, Father, if it's thy will, let this pass from me. But nevertheless, if it's your will, I'll drink this cup. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Well, if you were just sitting there standing and just saying, and, you know, if it, your flesh is not going to serve God anyway, but just in your spirit and while you're in church, you're caught up in the Spirit of God and you go, yeah, I'll drink this cup, Lord. And 5 hours later, you're still fretting over it. Everybody understand it? How many's had those swings? You see what I'm saying? That's not what God's trying to get out of you. So that's, he's not even looking at that, see? His atonement paid for all of that, those failures. But what he's looking at is the real you, and that real you never disbelieved the Word of God. It's always believed. That real you, I'm gonna lay one in your lap, but it's scriptures. That real you cannot sin.
Yeah.
Right? Go to little John, his first John. Right? He that's born of God doth not commit sin, and he cannot sin, for he is born of God. Isn't that what the scriptures say?
Yeah.
That's not talking about this. And that's not talking about your emotions. That's talking about something down inside that cannot sin. Why? Because it's just as much God as God is, because it comes from God. That's the real you. That's the real gene of God. That's the one that will make it. How many remembers the story when Brother Branham was, his wife was laying in the morgue, dead, and his baby was dying? How many remembers that story? His baby was dying. His baby would suffer so hard that her eyes would cross. Sharon Rose, her eyes would cross in the suffering. You know, God never wastes pain. He never wastes pain. And you know the story. Brother Branham had such a great success praying for children when their eyes were crossed. But he was back to that because he suffered. He saw his own little baby suffer with them eyes crossing. And when he was standing there on the stage, and then they bring their babies up and their eyes crossed, that prophet had suffered. And he could enter into that feeling of that infirmity, and he could pray that prayer of faith. Probably, potentially like he could if he hadn't have experienced what he did.
Yeah.
But Satan jumped up there beside him, began to speak to him, and said, didn't you say God was a good God? Now, I want to show you something. We're not talking about something going on in the flesh here. We're not talking about something in the soul right now. We're talking about Satan speaking to Brother Branham in his mind. And Satan began to talk to him just like he talks to you every day.
Yeah.
And he began to talk to him and said, you know, you've served God all these years, and you'd go and you'd work all day, and then you'd go out and you'd preach, and sometimes you wouldn't get in until 2 o'clock in the morning, and you'd get up and have to go back to work. And he said, all you'd do is stand on the street corners and preach the gospel. And then now your wife is laying dead in the morgue, and now your baby's right here dying, and God won't even hear your prayer. And you say he's a good God? You're going to serve a God like that? Now listen, if you want to get on the grounds with Satan or to reason with him, he will talk you out of it.
That's right.
And this is where the bride of Christ is commanded. Do not reason with the devil. Do not reason with him. Go straight to the Word of God and say what the Word of God, because this is what genders to the soul. But if you want to talk to the devil about your condition and what you're suffering and what somebody did to you and what this happened and that happened, you want to talk about that, he will talk you into a place where you're about right. You'll want to say, well, you know what? I'm not going to serve God then if he's going to do me that way.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He said, didn't you say God was a good God? And Brother Branham said, you know what? Everything he said was right. Satan began to move on that spiritual man into his imagination and like, you know what? That's right. Why would God treat me that way? I've preached and I've done all this for him. Why would he do this? Why would he? My wife laying there now. You understand what I'm saying? And Brother Branham said, I was just about to say, you know what? Well, if God's going to be that way, then I just won't serve him. Right? What happened? Satan desires to get you to flesh out his will. So Satan desired to get Brother Branham where his voice should be used to do the spoken word of God. He desired to get Brother Branham in a place where the words that he speaks was not the word of God, but was rather Satan's idea on the matter. And so he began to talk to him, and even a prophet of God said, he got me to the place where I was reasoning with him, and he said, I was just about to say it. I was about to speak it and say, well, then I won't serve God if he's going to be that way. And then Brother Branham said, but all of a sudden, something else come from way down inside. Something that bypassed all the fleshly suffering he was going through. And something that bypassed all that stuff that Satan was telling him in his imagination and getting him his conscience and all that all worked up to believe Satan's lie. Something else moved that was rock solid.
That's right.
And it said, it rose up and it said, wait a minute. God gives. God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? That's where our experience is going to come to. That right there. No matter what happens outside, no matter whether you come down sick with a terminal illness, that don't matter. It's something down inside that matters. And that's where we come to. If God gives, if he takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, I'll give glory to God no matter what. Right? And so Brother Branham said, oh, if it hadn't been for that inside of the inside. What's he talking about? If it hadn't been for that soul which was inside of the spirit, which is inside of the body. Amen? And so we want to live by that inside. The inside of the inside. And so, you know what? All of our experiences will be tested to that. And it's in those tests and in those trials that that character is molded and made. We're not going to find in those hours like that when things come, and there's things coming in our experience, there's things coming on this earth, people's not going to find the answer and the comfort they need in these tough hours that are coming. They're not going to find it on Facebook. They're not going to find it in entertainment from Hollywood. You understand what I'm saying? You get pressed to a certain place, and it's in those places where only God can answer, and that's only, you know. Let's just take somebody that's laying on her deathbed, and they're five minutes from taking their last breath. See if you can enter into me in this view I'm talking about. They're 5 minutes away from taking their last breath, and that person is saying, give me a cigarette. Does that sound right? Does that sound like that person needs to be doing that? Or they're saying, you know, go out and rent me a Disney movie. Does that sound right? They're about to take their last breath. Does it sound like that person needs to be trying to entertain themselves with a movie or a video? Or say, give me my phone. I want to see who's posted what on Facebook. Does that sound right? You see what I'm saying? That I think we occupy ourselves too much with things like that. It doesn't sound right. See? Well, if it's not right in that condition, it's not right in the capacity, you understand what I'm saying. And so because all those things, those Disney entertainments, they make you feel good. It's all in the spirit realm. You know, those things, entertainment and all that's all in the spirit realm. We've got to quit living according to the flesh and quit living according to satisfying the spirit. Quit living in such a place where we make the body feel good and the spirit feel good. Put all that to the side and say, nevertheless, Father, but thy will. Let thy will be done. And it's only in sacrifice, only in great sacrifice, that life comes to others, like it did when he walked up Calvary. And that's what we're here for. We are here to serve his purpose. We are not here to entertain flesh. We are not here. I know, I'm not saying you can't have a good time once in a while, but you know what? What I'm saying is our focus should be on that third realm. Our focus and say, you know what? The real reason why I'm here at Baldor to work today is not that I might test motors or something like that. My real reason is to represent Jesus Christ. That's our real purpose, our real reason. And so you find out, Brother Daniel and I were talking before service, you find out that every job is so demanding. They demand so much from you. It's like by the time they get done with you, you're just wrenched palm out. You come home and just, both physically and mentally. See, that's Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh knows that you want to serve God, and he's going to make sure you stay so busy that by the time you do get home, you ain't got enough energy to serve God. Well, we've got to learn how to put Pharaoh in his place.
Amen.
Because we've got a Moses on the scene with thus saith the Lord, we can do that. We can make Pharaoh scream and cry for mercy. See, if that's what it takes in order for God's people to serve him and to be able to be God's people. Amen. So, how many wants to live from the soul?
Amen. Amen.
You can make a decision in your own thinking, but that decision won't hold. Right? That decision has to drop down into something that translates into the word that God spoke concerning you.
Yeah.
Translates into something that will never change, that will always be serving God and always be going forward no matter what the circumstances are. That's the kind of thing that created the world. It wasn't some emotional mood swing God had that created things. It's not some emotional something that makes things work the way it is. It's the word of God that makes things work the way it is, see, as far as the believer is concerned. Let's let the musicians come. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of this service today, Lord, I realize that a great portion has been spoken. It would be hard for the mind to comprehend all the things that I've covered, Lord. I realize that. But I do pray, God, that you would cause your people to have the anointing that the early church had, and that is that they would search the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Lord, if truly that you have spoken in your word, that you have a people that are predestinated to be conformed to your image. Lord, that you have an anointing upon their life and you have a seed of a gene down in their soul, Lord, that will bring them forth. And Lord, that we would be able to look at that and identify with it and explore it and cause it to come to life even more and more. So, Lord, we live more and more each day by that which is in our soul and not that which is in our spirit. Lord, because we realize Satan will press us in our flesh to the degree that if that's what we live by, we will crumble. And he will press us so much in the spirit realm that if that's what we live by, Lord, we'll go insane. Lord, but it's the soul down inside we want to identify with, Lord. That as everything goes awry, that hybrid food has made our bodies just muck and no hardly no strength whatsoever left in us compared to what it used to be. And Lord, when people's minds are so bent out of shape that they can't even, someone can't even say something to them, Lord, that they disagree with, but what they go crazy over. The human spirit is so weak now. But Lord, we don't put our confidence in any of those things, though we find it resonant, trying to work in our own lives. We put our confidence in your word. Something down inside, Lord, that understands, even though in some days in our own thinking we might not, but down inside we hear that voice speaking and saying, You're my child. We thank you for that, Lord. Pray that you would help your people just to wrap these things up in their arms and pull them into their hearts, Lord. And cherish them. Cherish the rights of your word that you've given them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I mean, it's going to go and live by the words of God that's down in your soul. I can identify with the things I said this morning in the fact that some days I'm just on fire, and there's other days I'm just struggling,
yeah.
Right? But it's all in my thinking, you know. It's all in my spiritual man. But I'm so glad that no matter what I'm doing this or no matter what I'm doing that, when I just back off and relax just for a minute, there's something down inside that keeps talking. Amen? And it's never changed. From the day that I realized that there was something in me, I've never caught that saying anything different than amen to the word of God. And so that's what we want to live by. We want to learn how to shut all these other things out every morning to enter into communion with God, which is an image of what's in your soul. And get into a reciprocation with that so that it comes out and anoints your spirit, so that the spirit that you have for the day is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Now see, this is what we got to come to, and if we don't do this, we won't walk in the Spirit of God for the day.
Yeah.
But it starts out is that you come into communion with that, it anoints you in your spirit, man, and then you set the pattern for the day. And you can walk in the Spirit of God for the day, and guess what? You'll flesh out for the day. See? That's the way it works. Amen. Let's sing worship song.
Let go.
Several services in advance so that everybody knows and they will be here on that weekend. And And so we're planning on that on July 12th, I think is the day. We plan on that business meeting. So we'll go through all those things at that time with you. And wish we didn't have to do all that kind of stuff, but we do. So just to keep it the way it's supposed to be. But anyway, even though in all that, we will rejoice and thank God for this blessing. God bless you for this blessing.